The message is entitled, Today's Church Has Returned to Egypt. This is a message by revelation of the Holy Ghost, fully corroborated or fully in harmony with the prophetic Word of God. Today's church has returned to Egypt. I want to begin in a scripture found in Acts the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Who was that was in that church in the wilderness? It was Christ. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. He'd been up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights to receive the Ten Commandments. And continuing, verse 41, And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And the results, verse 42, Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. In other words, God rejected them. As many scriptures in the Bible go along with this, I'm going to relate you to those that are scriptures that when Stephen preached this message and lost his life because of it, he was referring to scriptures in the Old Testament, and they're in complete harmony with the New Testament revelation likewise. We're living in an age today when we can note the world has invaded the church, and preachers are the watchmen, they're to blame. When God sets a watchman, as Ezekiel 33 and verse 4 said, Son of man, when your people set a watchman in their coast, and he watches for the sword to come upon the land. He said, if the sword cometh upon any one of thy people, and the watchman has not warned him, I'll require the blood of that person from the watchman's hand. But said, if he blows the trumpet to warn the people, then their blood will be on their own heads. So it is in this generation. Micah 6 and 12 said in his own day, very similar to the days that the great deacon in the early church was preaching of and referring to in Acts 7. In Micah 6 and 8, the prophet said, You've turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. We've noted today that most of the fruit of the Spirit that are visible or manifest in the church and among the people called Christians are simulated, or their fruit that are counterfeit fruit. He said here, you've turned the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Hemlock is one of the most deadly poisons there are. Back in the Greek society, when a person was disgraced, he was asked by his society to drink a cup, and it had hemlock in it. Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates, those men were the men that were most learned and the wisest men in the Grecian society, yet one of those men that were the very most brilliant was asked to drink the cup of hemlock because his own society rejected his wise counsel. God, through the prophet Micah, said, God's people have turned the fruit of righteousness into hemlock, or into fruit that are poison for people to partake of. The Bible says in the New Testament in Ephesians 5 and verse 9, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God. Did you hear that? The fruit of the Spirit is produced in righteousness and goodness and truth, and they prove those fruit of the Spirit that are produced in goodness and righteousness and truth, prove in your life what God will accept. and what he rejects too, by the way. Jeremiah 6:16, the prophet cried out to the church of old, said, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls." But what did that generation or that church reply to the prophet? "We will not walk therein." And then what was God's response? Verse 30, Jeremiah 6. "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because why? The Lord hath rejected them." Another terminology could have been used, "fool's gold," God calls them. They're counterfeit, and God has rejected them. That's what Stephen said in Acts 7, in verse 39. The old church in the wilderness, their hearts were turned back to Egypt. God turned and gave them up. God turned and rejected them because their heart was turned back where they came from. God brought us out of Egypt. All through the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. And there's nothing more manifestly true to 20th century Christians than that God has called us where? Out of the world. When God called us, he called us out of Egypt. Out of the world. Out of what? Out of idolatry. God have mercy. Idolatry is the greatest sin that God can judge a person for. That's been a Christian. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Note that. It said your bodies too. Didn't say your spirit. It said your body. A living sacrifice. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And it is reasonable. It is not unreasonable to present your bodies in holiness and godliness and purity. They do call you puritanical. Why you bother about that? Ain't none of the pride could disturb you. Might injure your pride, but it don't injure your body. Don't injure your spirit. Does you good. He says that you may present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to the things of this world, but be you transformed. Honey, be still, please. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you, God has called us out of the world to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. Now, when you first become a Christian, you're not going to know the perfect will of God. But you will know the acceptable. You'll know what is good and what God will expect of you in your early development into maturity. Maturity is not perfection, by the way, for a Christian. After you're mature, then you become perfect. Praise God. You can take a fruit, becomes mature on a tree, and you can eat it. But if you let it age a little bit more, it'll reach perfection. A few more days sometimes. Maybe a week. So it is with a Christian. The Bible tells us here that the church in their hearts returned back to Egypt. Now the New Testament says much more about this in 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter. Paul the Apostle says in verse 1, "Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they did all drink of the same," or they ate, rather, "they ate of the same spiritual meat, and they drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Christ, he was the rock. But God was not pleased with many of them, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." God made the church in the wilderness of old an example to the church of the end time. And when you compare what God reprimanded the church in old or in the wilderness for, you can see the same reprimand applies to the church of the 20th century that we're members of. And the Bible said when the church of the 20th century commits the same sins as a church in the wilderness, it will suffer the same judgments. Then why don't we listen? God, have mercy sakes. Don't act like we're under some kind of dispensation when the judgments of God are not real. When the judgments of God are restrained, or they have been taken out of the covenant, or out of God's personality, or out of God's righteousness, and his penalty for sin will not be exacted as it used to be. And rebellion is worse than sin. The church of today is rebellious. It's turned back into the world. They look at the world and they become somehow jealous because the world can do things that we cannot do as a Christian. The Bible warns of this in Proverbs 23:17-18. Said, my son, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. God tells a Christian young man or woman, don't envy them stupid sinners out there. Why do you want to dress like them for? What does that always stir you up with, some kind of old